The following interview is part of the Tales of the Trade series created by fellows in the Baltimore Youth Film Arts Program.
I actually had a career before I even got into media, and I just quit my job because that's not what I wanted to do anymore, and I decided I wanted to do media. So I would basically go out and film something like every day. So I got my start at TV1, again, as a production assistant. So I kind of worked my way up to producer on News One Now, and also got to help out with some of the reality shows that they produce as well. And through that, I built a lot of relationships. The way that the industry is now, you have to be able to know a little bit of everything. I was working with people that were 10, 15, 20 years in the business. I didn't know what the hell they was talking about. So they would ask me to make like a Chiron list, and I didn't know what the hell a Chiron list was. They would ask me how to log videos. I didn't know how to log videos. So it was like a very scary situation initially, but I got to learn so much. And that's what I tell a lot of people that's coming into the business, like learn everything that you can. Like nothing is too small to learn when you get in the media. When I was a PA, I didn't know nothing. I was messing up every day. But I learned from it. That was like the important part. When Maya Angelou got her portrait in the National Portrait Museum in D.C., probably about 4 or 5 years ago now, we just had some kind of issue with the audio on the interview. And it was just like bad in certain spots. So I just kind of had to, one, bite the bullet that I wasn't really checking the audio like I should have been. But I had to like take that extra step to sit in with our editor and kind of really hash out what we can out of that interview, where the spots in the audio was good and it turned out well. And you know, the biggest lesson I learned is always check everything when you're in the field. The thing that a lot of people in this industry get set on is trying to get the person that's already here. And I was looking for the people that were down here that had the potential to be here. And an example of that is Misty Copeland. When she actually first got her deal with Under Armour, it wasn't a big deal. The only reason I really knew about it is because Under Armour is based in Baltimore and anything Under Armour does here is news. So I'm like, okay, this world-renowned black ballerina, okay, she's one of one on that front. And then she had done the Under Armour commercial, which got like 3 or 4 million views in like 2 days. So it was like something that people were checking for because it was nothing they ever seen before. But again, the people that I'm working with, they're not on YouTube on a daily basis. They're not looking at, you know, someone who's not a household name. So I was actually able to get her and book her and do an interview with her. And maybe like two, 3 months after we had her on TV1, she just like exploded and got like a Barbie doll and she got all these TV shows and all this different stuff. So we had this archived interview with her that no other black outlet had. And that's just because I was paying attention to what was going on in the space. I was the first person to put Marilyn Mosby on national television because, again, she was in Baltimore. This was before the riots and all that happened. I'm like, we have this black woman, and our audience is 70% black women, and she's the state's attorney for a major U.S. city. We need to get her on the show. And I actually had her on the show probably a month or two after the Michael Brown incident happened in Ferguson, and I had her talking about what a grand jury was. Lo and behold, 4 or 5 months later, Freddie Gray happens, and she's in the center of the world. And again, we have this interview with her, and boom, she's like a big, huge deal. So, you know, stuff like that, just staying ahead of the curve and paying attention to stuff that people aren't paying attention to was kind of how I kind of moved through the industry so far. What you'll find is, like, people who are successful producers, one, are a little hesitant to take chances, and two, just lazy. Like, to be honest, like, it's easy for them to call the A-list person or do a script that's a surefire script. That's like easy. They can do that and walk away from it. But where you're going to stand out is doing the things that nobody ever thinks about, nobody else looks at, and just going that extra level to find something or someone to bring to the marketplace. There's 20 million billion stories out there in the world. I mean, you just have to find, you know, one to tell, and just don't tell the same one everybody else is telling. Like, there's so many other stories, like who's the first black architect? Nobody's ever told that story. Who's the first black Wall Street broker? Nobody's ever told that story. Like, I'm reading a book now about Egyptian gods and stuff like that. Like, nobody's talking about that kind of stuff. Like, there's so many stories that of black people that have not been like told or explored. And I think a lot of that has to do with the positioning of black people in media or Hollywood or what have you. So that's kind of like the core of a lot of the things that I want to do. I want to do a feature-length documentary. I have a couple of different ideas I'm looking to actually get off the ground. But that's kind of like my goal right now. Hopefully I can get it done 2020, 2021. And I'm not like focused, like most people I know want a big Netflix deal, and I'm not really focused on where it's going to be shown. I just want to like do it just so I know I can do it kind of thing. I've done a ton of interviews with black women in the marijuana industry, and I want to kind of put that together as a mini doc, but I just really need to get it like done, like stop bluffing and really like do it. There's a ton of people who are executive producers who have no idea how to create like anything. And that's like one of my pet peeves. Like, how are you gonna tell me how to edit this and you've never edited like anything ever? So like the executive producer thing is, it's cool to say, it's cool to see your name on a screen that says executive producer and all that, but I'd much rather be a part of the creative process. The thing that's great about media now is that you don't need to go to a Netflix or HBO or CNN, like one of the major players. You can shoot something, host your own film, and have 50 people there. And it's like the same impact, if not more, because those are people that are actually connected to your work versus people just going to the movies. So that's what I tell people all the time. Like, shoot something and just show it to your friends, like, and grow your audience there. Like, Tyler Perry is damn near a billionaire, and he made his own audience. Like, it can be done. You don't have to go to one of the big movie houses. Your projects don't have to be super perfect. Like, I watched Eddie Murphy's Dolomite on Netflix, and that made me go back and watch the actual Dolomite movie, and that movie was horrible. But like, he built an audience. Like, you could see the boom mic in the shots. You could see like, you know, stuff like out of order in the background. The dialogue was terrible. Like, the action, his little karate stuff was like horrible, but he made his own audience. You can do the same thing. Like, you don't need a huge audience. You can do it with a handful of people and just keep growing it from there. I think there's a lot of opportunity in like a smaller market. Like I said before, like, make a project and show it to 50 people, you know. Like, it's opportunity there. Like, and just let it grow from there. When we had the World Games last March in Dubai, they had this thing called Healthy Athletes, where athletes get like health screenings and stuff like that. And there was a soccer player from Senegal that was born like 90% deaf, and they fitted him for some kind of hearing device, and he actually could hear for the first time in his life through these devices, and we were actually able to capture that on film. And stuff like that, like, I don't care how many like celebrities you interview and all that type of, like, stories like that, like, hit. Like, people were like in tears, like, they were really touched by that. And I think the imaging and being, you know, involved in that kind of stuff means a lot, you know, to the next generation. I mean, I came up in a time where all we saw were like I said before, like the black drug dealers, like all the hip hop videos for that, all the movies were like Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society, all that type of stuff. But I think that imaging is so important because so many black kids and so many black people don't know they can be more than X, Y, or Z. Like, people think they gonna graduate from school or for film school or something like that and go straight to Paramount. Like, it's so almost impossible to navigate and move your way up in those big spaces. Like, it makes a lot more sense for you to like start small and like stay there and grow like a niche situation for yourself. So like, don't focus on being big, just focus on doing you and like creating your own wherever you can. Is, you know, the advice I would give. Start now. I mean, the fact that you're here, that means a lot. Like, I didn't start, and I'm about to age myself, I didn't start my media journey until I was like 30, and I've done a lot within the last couple of years. And I just sometimes I think, like, what if I would have started if I was 20 when I was 21? Like, how much I would have been done, or where would I be? So just start now. Like, y'all got, I mean, your phone, you can shoot a movie on your phone now. Like, that's like, there's no excuses, like, none whatsoever. So just start now and do the thing that you want to do.